Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I'm your pop culture and sports nerd. Ali?
I am a Leo classic nerd.
And I'm V, I'm your comic book nerd.
Listen, man, I'm still mad at you guys.
For what?
For about half an hour ago.
We had a debate.
Yeah, you told me I was wrong and that I was possessed by a devil.
I did see you. I take it too far sometimes.
He is like, how are you not used to being called wrong by Ali?
Okay, I'm okay with being called wrong.
Possessed by the devil.
It was, yeah, first of all.
So it makes me feel better. On Twitter earlier, I said that everyone who heard Yanni is Satan.
I didn't hear Yanni. I heard Laurel. So that one we agreed on.
That one's the one we agreed on.
It was Laurel. It wasn't Yanni.
So what we're talking about is there's two things. Has gone on. Because you remember the debate that nearly tore up this podcast?
Was it? What do you it mean? It tore me? I nearly quit.
This band nearly went separate. We nearly had solo careers. We went on hiatus. You remember how boy bands and girl bands never actually quit? They go on hiatus. They just never come back.
I was Timberlake your bitch asses.
You weren't gonna Timberlake us.
I would have Zayn Malik here.
No, you wouldn't have done that. You would have Chris Kirkpatrick.
You're the Ringo Starr of the group. Let's be real.
Fuck you, bro. I'm the fucking John Lennon.
If we're gonna have any metaphors, you're the Ringo Starr.
Yeah, John Lennon was so full of shit it wasn't even funny.
Ringo Starr is talented. Don't knock him.
I don't want to be Ringo.
5 seconds of harmony. No,
5 seconds of summer. No, five sauce.
Not Five Sauce, the other one.
Harmony?
Fifth Harmony just went on hiatus.
Well, no, it's because, what's her face like? Camila Cabello.
But they went on hiatus. It's same with One Direction, right? They went on hiatus and they've never gotten back together.
That's true.
Though, ironically enough, One Direction, I didn't think Niall Horan would be the most productive of them.
I thought Zayn's the most productive.
No, the little Irish kid has put out like more songs than him. Which one of the 1D people, correct us. Little Irish kid.
I know,
small
but which one did he put out?
He just put out another one. I don't know what it's called. But
Strip That Down For Me?
No. There's Strip That Down For Me, and then he just put out another one that sounds a lot like Shakira.
What?
The She-Wolf song.
Mm.
I'll play it for you in a minute, okay?
Not for a minute. Just play it after
the podcast. We'll play it after the podcast. Yeah, in a completely unrelated tone, I need someone to invent an app for me. I'm looking at you because you're the most technical of us, V.
It's racist.
You know how Shazam exists? You know how Shazam exists? Like, you can Shazam songs? It's called Shazam, right?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
I nearly called it Kazam.
Mixing Kazaa
with Shaquille O'Neal's Kazam. Okay. So you remember Shazam, like, it helps you find songs. I need an app that you can use to tell you what a song sounds like. Because so many songs sound similar. So I'll listen to something like, this sounds similar to something else. I don't care what this song is. I want to know what the other song is that I'm thinking in my head.
Oh, so you mean like just Googling, hey, what is the sample the
song
uses?
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. I've Googled songs. I'm like, what does this song sound like? And like, this song sounds like this song. And it's the same song.
What about Pandora?
Does Pandora do that?
Well, I mean, you could put a song in that you like, and then it'll give you suggestions within that same vicinity.
No, but then you have suggestions. I'm talking about like, because most of these songs are ripoffs.
Yeah, they are.
They're outright ripoffs.
I mean, they're like the movie industry now.
Yeah. I want someone to go definitive, like, no, this song sounds like this.
Yeah, so like,
that's what I need. I don't need a list.
The song Nice For What by Drake. I looked up.
It's a Lauryn Hill song, isn't it?
Yeah, it's X Factor by Lauryn Hill.
It doesn't work. All right, fine. Yeah. We'll test this after the podcast. If you're wrong, I'm going to come back here next week and demand that app. Yeah.
The thing is,
you demand it from me. Yeah. He's the agent.
Someone's got a technical
that Drake song sampled the Lauryn Hill song.
I know.
Yes, because some the chorus sample, is like it sampled.
But like,
is different.
You have to remember, like, there's a subtlety here because
remember,
the Robin Thicke song Blurred Lines took the Marvin Gaye song, but you know, it took
didn't sample.
Yeah, like. People didn't realize technically that it was the Marvin Gaye song until someone in the industry brought it out.
I'm not talking about the same.
Like Ice Ice Baby.
I'm talking about like when you actually.
It's not the same.
Under Pressure.
Yeah.
You go, there's whole like Watch Mojos where you're like, they play, you know, what the fuck? That is the same song. So we're gonna I need someone to create that up. But anyways, what we were debating about is the new internet's trend. Last year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever.
Yeah, white dress, gold dress.
White gold or black blue dress.
White gold, always.
V and I were black blue, and you were white gold. You were Satan there. Now there's this audio clip going around about people who say, do you hear a Laurel or do you hear Yanni? I genuinely believed that people who were saying they heard Yanni were just trolling or they were insane. Until V genuinely is like, no, I heard Yanni. And I'm like, all right, I believe V, but for what? I didn't believe it.
When I told you I saw fucking gray.
No, because I think that was another level. That was like, yeah. You were on
a pink and white. To be fair, I did hear Laurel eventually.
You did eventually.
Because yeah. It was a different, because when I first listened to it, I was in a library, and I obviously wasn't reading, though. I was on my phone, but had my earphones
naturally,
in.
Naturally.
And I listened to it, and I heard Yanni when it was in my earphones, and then when you played it for me again here at the podcast studio, right, I heard Laurel off of your laptop.
Yeah.
So that was weird.
It's a pitch thing. It's how high the tone or the pitch is. People hear different things. We want you to listen to it. Tell us what you hear. Do you hear Yanni or do you hear Laurel? Most people seem to hear Laurel.
Yeah.
But some people do hear Yanni. But then Diz brought up this other thing. It's a shoe.
It's a shoe. It's a Vans
shoe. The shoe is very clearly,
Grand
objectively
mint.
Speaking, by Grand the laws mint. Of physics,
Grand mint.
Is pink and white.
What I'm trying to understand is what is so special about their shoe that they took a picture of it? Was it the one they threw at George W. Bush?
No. If it was, then it's definitely pink and white. But then Diz comes out of the blue and says, it's gray and mint. First of all, you didn't say mint. You said blue. Then you throw in mint in there to be fancy.
Minty. It's like a tealish mint.
Okay, blue. So I get what you're trying to say. In one iteration of the photo, it's very clear that it's a pink and white shoe that someone has taken a filter on. There's like a tint.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like a slight blue tint to the photo itself, the entire photo. But the shoe is still objectively pink and white. But your ass
I can't see it as pink and white, yeah.
Okay, we're going to tweet this out.
And I showed you the comparison. I was like, this one I see pink and white, and this one I say
green. Yeah, we're going to tweet this out on our Twitter. Someone let us know if anyone else sees gray and mint?
Mint.
Or gray and blue is what he means.
Mint.
Because
mint
in no way do me and VC.
Yeah, I tried to. I really did.
I
tried to.
I couldn't see pink and white.
I couldn't
dude.
See it.
In that case, I genuinely do think you possess.
Seriously. I then squinted my eyes.
Listen, man, okay.
I looked from afar.
I did what I could. I already naturally squint. And I didn't see it still. And I opened my eyes a little more.
Hearing different things doesn't bother me too much because...
Oh, hearing different things is okay.
You know, what? Because there's also pronunciations. There's like weird things happen with
hearing. That's true. And it's also Lee heard that thing when he was on top of the mountain from God. That's why he does what he does now.
I heard the voice of God.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of weird things. People hear weird things, right? Mm-hmm. Your hearing is fucked up regularly, right? An example of this is there's like that one audio thing that's just like both and afar or something. And like if you listen, you could hear both. You get afar, but it's like both.
It depends on what you're looking at.
Yeah, depends on you. Whereas the eyesight thing, when you're seeing completely different colors, that's witchcraft.
You're witchcraft. Mm.
It's actually scientifically explained that it's actually in the eyes that's done.
Yeah. Motherfuckers don't see colors.
Designated
right?
as witchcraft, but it has caused controversy. Outright controversy.
You know what else caused
people
controversy?
People will fight over anything.
Well,
look, man. White people.
Things that don't matter. Dude.
Yeah.
Listen.
I was ready to kill him.
Yeah.
White people, we're getting real tired of your shit.
What?
We're getting tired of your shit.
This is just racist towards white people.
Yeah, what's the matter with you?
Can't be racist towards white people. It's a power dynamic.
Shut up. Just go.
Clearly, he's been listening to me too much.
You could be prejudiced towards him.
You could be prejudiced.
Yeah. No, I learned that from Dear White People.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
No, you learned it from me.
Okay. Good show.
Yeah. No, I meant the movie, but also a good show.
The movie didn't translate as well. The movie was good, but the show is better. The
show's tip top.
Yeah.
But, so, y'all been pissing me off a lot this week. First of all, calling the cops on people napping.
That's
calling
true.
The cops on the barbecue. People barbecuing. Yeah.
The barbecuing one is one of my favorite one videos, though, because in that video, you get to see like how women, white women, weaponize their tears, particularly against people of color. The instant the cops show up, she's...
she's
just harassed. I've been harassing. But I got the silent hero... who's not so silent of that video, in my opinion.
Oh, it's a white lady.
Is the white lady.
Oh, filming. It's recording. Yeah, yeah.
And this is like, let's put credit where it's credit due. Woke white people who use their privilege to step up in those situations. Because you know for a fact, if those two black guys had said anything.
Yeah, they would have been dead.
They would have been dead. They would have been shot. They would have been shot. Let's be real about it, right?
Yeah.
Those two black guys were smart. Like, we're not going to, it's a white lady.
We thought that,
white lady.
Yeah, we no thought way. That spatula was an AK-47. Yeah,
here's the deal,
no
all right?
No way.
In this day and age.
But that woman who stepped up with her camera and is like, you know, and put her, literally physically put herself between the woman calling the cops and the black guys barbecuing, that woman is a silent hero.
Good for
her. Not so silent, but good for her. Yeah. That's called using your privilege
in this day and age
to fix that imbalance.
If you're going to call the cops on unarmed black men
at you're basically, Waffle Houses at prom,
it's basically attempted murder at this point. Yeah, that you should go to jail for attempted murder.
That is true. You know what's sad is the fact that it's like if it was the dude who had saved the WAP house from the shooting and they'd call the cops on him, imagine what would happen then.
I don't know about attempted murder, but I know for a fact that what I believe I should say quite strongly is that if you call the cops unnecessarily, there should be a fine of some sort.
Yeah.
The cops aren't there for your little petty ass drama, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Your little petty, like, they're not your private mercenaries that you get to call whenever you feel like you want to inconvenience someone else or harass someone else. You call the cops on them, right?
That's true.
You call the cops for like actual infractions of some sort. None of this like so-and-so annoyed me, so I'm gonna call the cops.
That's true. That's what your kids are for.
That's what your kids are for.
Yeah. So that white lady happened. That's a thing. They memed her.
I'm gonna give a good news out rather than before you move on
to the darker stuff. The Oaklanders.
Huh?
The Oaklanders.
I don't know about that.
You know what the Oaklanders did?
No.
Oh man, they held the barbecue?
Yeah.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That in response to the lady, they hold a giant barbecue. That, by the way, like master level trolling. Love that.
I love it.
I love it. Because first of all, it's barbecue. You can't fucking go wrong with barbecue.
Yeah, seriously.
And it's a community coming out and having fun in the best way possible. Mm. More power to them. But it was a story that came out of New Jersey in which prom was happening. I forgot that prom was happening until I saw a bunch of these little children in there. It's cute. Even my cold heart gets a little warm when I see
promposals.
The promposals are stupid. You're just looking for attention. Shut the fuck up. Ask her to prom. You don't need to parachute into your school, you know, to ask a girl.
It's white privilege.
That is. Let's be rude. Because if I
promposals, I don't know.
If I parachuted,
what was your promposal? Like a pizza?
I had two. I had one where I had my friend Charlie Chang, who played the acoustic guitar.
Oh, for fuck's
We rewrote John Mayer's "Your Body Is a Wonderland."
Into what? Your body is chicken nuggets?
No, into a song asking this girl while she was at church.
So he did all the hard work.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I Jedi mind tricked him.
Did you have a sign in your hand?
Huh?
Do you have the sign
in your hand? Like while he was singing, I was holding signs that like correspond. I actually stole it. I white privileged. I appropriated.
Love Actually.
A video from Common, because I didn't watch Love Actually at the time.
Love Actually came out later, actually.
So Common, the rapper, has a song called Come To Me with Mary J. Blige, where he's outside of this girl's house, and he's rapping, and he has signs that correspond with the lyrics, and you find out that the girl is deaf.
Mm.
I did the same thing.
Was she deaf, the girl you were asking?
No, she wasn't. That's why would she? Why would I have someone write a song if she was deaf?
Well, because he's singing, you know the lyrics.
No, I would have saved myself time and just told him to act like he was singing if she was deaf.
And someone would have been like, you know, he was just blah, blah, blah.
That's even better. That'd be even better. Either way, what I did was,
it's really fucked up.
Okay, so what Charlie Chang
can we just point out real quickly that he revealed a really cruel side of himself right there?
Yeah.
Did he pull a fast one on a deaf girl?
I yellow privileged myself into getting my friend Charlie Chang to do the acoustic guitar thing. And there's another one where I hid in a box for like 30 minutes and popped out of it.
Wait, you proposed to the same girl?
One was junior year, the other one was senior year.
You guys got two proms?
One
was junior year, one was senior year.
We only got one prom.
No.
We got a senior prom.
One prom happens, but you were a senior when it happens. Some juniors have also went to prom. You don't get two proms. It's one prom a year.
Yeah.
But prom is mostly seniors with some juniors.
Oh, prom is only seniors.
No.
You could take whoever you want.
So here's the actual story. The promposal thing. Fuck you, V. I'm onto it. If you want to be cute, I'm okay with the cutesiness of it.
Word.
But it seems like everyone's one-upping one another.
Yeah.
If my ass parachuted into Aliso Nega High School, I would be in a body bag, right? Like someone would have shot me.
That's
true. Arrested instantaneously.
I mean, you were hanging on by a thread, just driving your mom's Jeep.
This would be real.
Yeah.
Like, what is this brown man doing in a white man's car? How dare he? But what happened is, there in New Jersey, there was a bunch of these frat boys, these meatheads, sitting up on their roof, just pounding down beers. And prom couples were walking. They were leaving prom and walking. Every time they were walking, they were very obnoxiously like, kiss her, kiss her. And the prom couples would be like, oh, yeah, okay. And then they'd kiss and then move on. And as they were doing this, one of the couples that was walking was two gay teens. They were wearing
suits
with pink ties. And there was a guy who was tweeting this experience. He was also gay and he was a woman. And he was very nervous, like, oh shit, right? Kiss her. And all of a sudden, these two little gay boys come by, right? These little gay teens. And all of a sudden, it went, kiss her, kiss him! Very like nonchalantly. And it was the guy who was tweeting this that talked about how emotional it was that 10 years ago when he was in high school, right? Uh-huh. He couldn't have imagined that the meatheads would be so open and accepting. But then all of a sudden now we're, I mean, it is New Jersey, it is 2018, but it is a kind of a feel-good moment when all of a sudden it wasn't, they didn't think it weird, they didn't, even if it weren't homophobic, they might not be willing to say kiss him, but they were. They just, without missing a beat, kiss him, and the two kiss, and it was a kind of a cute moment.
That's
One of those moments.
Way to go, white people.
One of those moments you went, hey, meatheads, you may be horrible normally, but... Yeah. You've done good this time.
But I mean, there was also that frat that, like, you know, that simulated the fellatio
Don't ruin my feel good moment, V.
I can't help it. I'm sorry.
Well, let me ruin it.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
God damn it. So, this is a moment of happiness.
Happy birthday.
Let me ask you twos something.
Yes, ma'am.
You twos, have I heard of a woman by the name of Nicole Abba?
Yes, I have. Dear fat people.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
hater.
Have y'all ever heard of a man by the name of Donald Glover?
AKA I love Donald Glover.
The childish Gambino.
Let's stop for a moment before talking about Nicole Arbor and just give credit where credit is due. That fucking... Ooh. This is America. Genius.
My God.
Can we also talk about, like, the level of fucking talent that guy has?
He's like
another level of talent.
Yeah.
Funny, dramatic, like, serious acting chops and serious music chops. It's kind of really offensive because he's, like, he's too good at everything.
Well, that's the... You know what? In the 90s... Before we hated the product of his semen, Will Smith was kind of
very much like that.
You know, he was the rapper who, like, you know, won the first rap album, the Grammy, right? Like, when did Carnegie Hall or whatever right? And he was also, you know, newcomer. Fresh Prince was his break into the industry, and he killed it.
Talking about the bomb,
yeah,
that happened like 3-4 hours ago. Yeah.
I know. Why are you interrupting him about a bomb? Sorry, there was a bomb right by my house a couple hours ago.
Right. Holy shit.
Yeah,
really?
The medical center blew up.
Yeah.
One person died.
It was a gas leak.
Three people injured.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It wasn't a bomb, it was a gas leak.
How is it that you guys know about it and I don't?
It's racism. It's because we fucking live here and you don't. You live in Little Vietnam.
All right, back to Childish Gambino.
Little Saigon, you dick.
Sorry. Where's Saigon at again?
It's in Vietnam.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right, stop it. Stop it. Childish Gambino, fucking phenomenally
great. Honestly,
now this is America. I don't know about you guys, but he dropped it first on SNL, and then the video came out after. I heard the audio first. Wasn't too big on the audio, to be honest. The first time around, I heard it.
Uh-huh.
Then I saw the video. I loved the video. I thought, whoa,
yeah,
I can break this down for hours. But still, it wasn't like this is the best song of the year type thing for me. But like, I went to bed and I woke up hearing it. I went to bed hearing it. Like it's one of those earworms that's not catchy in the sense, like, you know, Call Me Maybe is an earworm, right? Just singing it for no reason.
Incidentally, they did a video where they mixed that video with Call Me Maybe.
I saw that. It was hilarious.
Oh, my God. It fits perfectly, though. It's crazy.
The internet's crazy. It's one of those earworms that grows slowly and gradually. Yeah. And then I cannot stop listening to that song.
There's something haunting about it, I think. Where it just kind of haunts your mind
a little
bit.
Don't catch you slipping.
Well, the beats that he uses, a lot of the samples that he uses, also if you listen very carefully, in addition to kind of the visuals, just from an acoustic perspective, right?
Yeah.
He's sampling a lot of international songs, right? So he's drawing in from North African and Middle Eastern tones, Afro-Caribbean, very clearly trap music, right?
Yeah.
They're all there, and it's very clever. If you just from a music perspective, forgetting the visuals for singing, just listen to it. It's like on another level of brilliant.
So when you first watched the video and you saw the first time he shoots the guy, like, what was your reaction to that?
The first thing that blew my mind, because the guy who he shoots, who sits down with the guitar, that looks, if anyone reckons, that looks like Trayvon Martin's dad.
Oh, does it? I don't know. Yeah.
So it was one of those moments where you watch it and you're just like, oh, holy shit.
I didn't know.
I think it's Trayvon Martin's dad.
And they went and they...
It's not him, but an actor that looked like
There was people that were talking about how even like... Because, you know, when I first watched it, I'm like, he's doing these really odd dance moves. Right. Like in the beginning, like he's doing
Jim
these
Crow.
Like... Then they were talking about like the Jim Crow stuff, right?
It's completely Jim Crow.
Like, yeah.
I recognize when he did the pose, the kind of with the hip out.
Yeah.
I recognize it right God,
yeah.
There.
There's an old like Gangs of New York quote. Bill the Butcher goes, was it a jig doing a jig?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I almost like it was evoked that.
Yeah, well,
like,
I mean, when I was like... The scene where he's... I mean, part of the... And this is the controversy that Nicole Arbor garners, right? Is that part of the
person.
Music of part of the message of the song, and there's a lot of messages in there, right? Mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter, police violence, gun violence, etc. But one of it is of white America enjoying the entertainment of Black America, Black culture's entertainment, right? The music, the dancing, literally borrowing the dance, while ignoring the trauma, the travesty, the shooting up of a church, right? Like, that's part of it is about attention. Like, if you notice, a lot of horrific stuff is happening in the background.
Yeah.
Well, in the foreground, there's dancing.
Yeah.
So when Nicole Arbour decides to, quote-unquote, parodying it, though she doesn't claim it was a parody
backlash. She said it was an edit.
Or an edit after the backlash. Yeah. She's literally missing the point. Yeah, literally the point of the song is you enjoy our entertainment while ignoring our trauma.
Did you not expect anything less from her?
No. I mean, this is the woman who's... She's clearly been trying to stay relevant, right? Yeah. For a long time, she's been doing this. Yeah. She tries to become controversial. And I tweeted something about this. Part of this is just the kind of... the economy of attention, right? When we build an economy of attention in which we need likes and shares and favorites and retweets, etc., right? That builds in... capital as sensationalism, or sensationalism as capital. The more sensational you are, the more outrageous you are, the more capital you have. It's why you have the Logan Pauls of the world that'll do more and more outrageous things, more and more clickbaity things, because they know that it's attention, and all attention is good. That's why Nicole Arbour did it. What she did wasn't an accident.
Yeah.
It's deliberate. It's built into the system of the economy of attention. Now everyone's talking about Nicole Arbour. Here we are, two brown dudes and an Asian dude talking about Nicole Arbour.
Yeah, but we're not saying good things about her.
No, it's not.
I know, but it doesn't matter. But
someone's listening to this and going, I don't know who she was, and clicked on her video.
Oh, don't. She's notorious for beating up Matthew Santorum.
She got around.
But she also...
Allegedly.
There was, she always had controversial videos, and obviously she had gotten banned off of Facebook or whatever else because of the Dear Fat People thing.
Yeah.
What's crazy is that she built her whole career based on that kind of shocking bullshit. But what's interesting is the fact that she was able to, I think it's weird because she was able to say those things and get away with it for so long. A lot of the times, because I feel like it was on the principle of her being an attractive white woman.
I think you're 100% right there. Yeah. You're on to something there. Who she is plays a big role into what she gets away with doing.
Well, look at Tommy Lauren.
Yeah.
Like, why does Tommy Lauren get away with half the shit?
Well, let's be real. Tommy Lauren wouldn't exist if she wasn't a little blonde girl.
Yeah, if she wasn't like a pretty little blonde girl.
Pretty is a subjective term. I mean, the hate on her face is pretty palpable. She looks like a curmudgeon.
Okay,
but if Roger Ailes didn't jerk it to a girl like her, then she wouldn't have the...
The reality is, too, is like, I always find it funny when she talks about like immigrants and not having skills, because like her only discernible skill is that she can read from a teleprompter without stuttering.
Yeah,
without jumping over herself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's her only discernible skill. Same thing with this Nicole Arbour thing. Though the thing with Nicole Arbour, what I find particularly fascinating, is also the style of comedy. From her Dear Fat People, Dear White People, she's had a bunch of these dear whatevers. That style of comedy seems to be, on one hand, for comedians that aren't particularly funny themselves. They're not that good. It's also a quite uniquely American brand of comedy, which is acerbic and kind of cruel to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's you don't find that sense of humor elsewhere, because there's angry humor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Louis Black, quite famously, angry humor, right? You lose your shit, right? There's self-deprecating humor, which is usually British humor. British humor is always inward, right? If you're mocking other people, you're doing so by mocking yourself. That's what the British do.
What about Ricky Gervais?
Ricky Gervais is an example of mean humor. Uh-huh. Right, which is not particularly popular overseas. Ricky Gervais is not as big as he is over there. He's popular. He's got shows and whatnot. But in general, poking fun is a different thing.
It's kind of polarizing.
Yeah. It's very polarizing. Whereas I think we're a little bit more comfortable with the mean humor. Because, I mean, her Dear Fat People video blew up. Millions upon millions of
people. Yeah, but for the wrong reasons.
But people loved
it. But it doesn't matter, because she still had... Yeah, but no one wanted Logan Paul to film a dead guy, but he still made the money off of it. Like,
yeah, it's like he didn't lose any money off of doing that. He gained money. And same with her. She's gaining money. As much as her like and dislike ratio might be hurt, she's still making money off of it.
It's like, do you remember... It's weird to say now, but remember like that old Rebecca Black video? Friday video, right?
She made bank off of that.
Didn't matter how much people hated it. You know, they made money off of it.
And she continued her career. She went she went on tours. She performed at VidCon. She released another video.
Yeah, although she can, I've heard her sing now. She actually
she can sing. She can even sing. Back then, she could have sung. It was just the video, the song she sung was a shitty ass song.
And also Nicole Arbour, I mean, she's, I mean, she put up a video about how it was like about how the on the mental health industry. About like, you know, about not relying on medication and shit in the mental health industry and like going to this whole thing about self-determination bullshit.
She's one of those people that very clearly is not particularly smart.
Yeah.
And not actually funny, but this, but being able to kind of say the things that people want to say is her shtick.
Yeah.
And she does it, and she does it kind of unapologetically. And it's slightly humorous, but not like, you're never actually guffawing at anything she says.
Yeah.
But because she is a moderately attractive white lady, she does it and gains a following.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, she, yeah, she does those like weird quick cuts too, if you watch her videos. It's
that's
like
her, that's her humor. She relies heavily on Ed. Like, she's not funny. None of her jokes are funny. I've never watched any of her videos and went, oh, this is hilarious. I watch her video and go, she's mildly entertaining at times.
I refuse to watch
mostly her videos. Offensive and stupid.
Yeah.
And not particularly smart. But this is the, I mean, as much as I want to rag on the Nicole Arbour's of the world, this is, we created this beast. Another example of this is Candace Owens, who we've bitched about.
It's your homie.
Right? I've complained about endlessly because thanks to Kanye West, this nobody has become a somebody. I mean, she's literally at the embassy opening at Israel right now, Jerusalem. Trump tweeted about her. Right, he took a nobody and made something out of her. But it was just revealed that literally 3 years ago she ran an anti-Trump website. So that at the end of the day, like this is the thing about these characters. They're grifters. They're all grifters.
Yeah.
Few of them are true believers in what they believe, but they know that there's a market for it. There's a market for sensationalism. There's a market for anger. There's a market for hate. There's a market for non-PC-ness, whatever that means, right? I mean, the whole like fear of PC culture is an overblown bullshit. Right, mm-hmm. We're not PC in any way, shape, or form. But we also acknowledge that when we say PC culture, what we're not talking about is hurting people's feelings. People's feelings get hurt all the time. It's the fact that that we recognize and acknowledge that there are marginal people in the world, and those marginal people have the right to respect. Guess what? Don't use the N-word. It's not that big. It's not that big an issue. Not being able to say the N-word is, if you think that's PC culture gone crazy, it just goes to show how fucking entitled you are. But that culture of entitlement, of capitalizing on that resentment and anger, it's huge. And it's a grifting. It's completely con. They're conning you. The Nicole Arbours of the world, the Candace Owens of the world, these people are con artists that are making millions and gaining attention because of the way our system is set up. And I think that's the problem. I don't care that the Nicole Arbours of the world exist. They've always existed.
Yeah, yeah.
Dumb people is not a new thing. Yeah. Racist people are not a new thing.
It's true.
Right? Entitled people are not a new thing. Dumb, racist, entitled people having massive platforms is a new thing.
Yeah.
Right? And nobodies. I mean, you'll always have the Bill O'Reillys and the whatnots, but suddenly these nobodies having millions upon millions of views. The fact that that woman has millions of views, the fact that Charlie Kirk, the guy who's Candace Owens' partner in Turning Points USA, tweeted out, oh, I can't believe he even, like, this is the world we live in. He says, the dudes that can't tell what the weather is going to be like tomorrow is telling me the climate 50 years from now. His way of climate denying. And literally someone's like, you do know the difference between weather and climate. And the expert, literal expert on this, retweeted with a comment and corrected it. Charlie Cook's tweets are 8,000 strong. The correction is less than 500. That's where I see the problem. Charlie Cook's of the world will always exist. And Nicole Arbour's of the world always exists. Candace Owens of the world always exists. And I was going to do racist, stupid, entitled shit.
Yeah.
But now we're rewarding them for that.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know how to fix that.
Well, man. I think there was a point where before this was the crazy jerk off with the pamphlet, right?
Right.
You can only get so far in front of the post office handing out dumb shit. Mm-hmm. But now it's like we have the internet has done a wonderful job of creating communities for people who are marginalized, which is great.
Beautiful.
But at the same time, it's also created this weird, you know, it's also unified these other people who unfortunately play on kind of the worst qualities of humankind.
Look, we can all agree to cancel Nicole Arbour. None of us watch her on this show.
No. Yeah.
None of us like her. She's canceled. currently nerdy fans, she's canceled. Next year, there's going to be another Nicole Arbour.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it sells no matter what. Even the people who... And people know that because now, you know, teens do dumb shit and record it all the time. We always did dumb shit, I can tell you that much.
That's true.
Right? But it's like now...
No one knows we did dumb shit. Yeah. Like, I know, like, it's the thing to talk about millennials and or Generation Z and Tide Pod. Fucker, we did stupid shit in our days as millennials. We did stupid shit as generation... I mean, you had a whole fucking generation.
Like, you didn't tell me, though, the baby boomer... Rock, yeah.
The motherfucking rock generation.
The baby boomers literally created a movement where you live in a fucking mud hut and do acid all day. Right? Like, fuck that shit. It's the dumbest shit ever. They sit there. You want to talk about John Lennon.
It's a pun.
They sat there talking about, oh, I want to give everything and I want to do this and that. And the second that they got to the age of 30, they literally took everything out of society.
Come on, let's be real. This is the generation that literally made the guy who came up with Pet Rock a millionaire.
Yeah. This dumbass.
Millions.
Right. No, look.
They had Chia Pets.
Yeah. Okay, but we're hating on
Goldfish in the shoes.
We hating on these people. Shit. We hating on the Generation Zers. I remember when I was a kid.
I don't hate Generation Z.
No, I know, but like.
They slightly annoy me.
People my age.
It's weird that. Remember, millennials were kids. Yeah. But now we're the ones going, damn, Generation Z. Yeah.
No, man.
We were in high school.
Yeah. I'm just upset about Lil Pump.
Do y'all remember having, like, trying to hold your breath till you passed out?
Yeah, I never did it, but I remember.
Yeah, I know.
Or the one where they closed your. They closed it.
What was that, the veins?
Your veins.
What veins are those?
Trachea?
That was your trachea. But you remember that, right?
The carotid arteries.
The carotid arteries. Remember, like, someone would squeeze.
Until you knock, you pass out.
And then let go. Or the other one was like, you'd bend over, hold your breath, you stand up, and then someone push your chest.
Yeah.
These were all ways of, like, getting high and, like, passing out and having that feeling. I remember seeing all of it. I never did any of this stuff because I was like, not losing any
brain cells. But we did that shit, though, right?
But we did that shit.
Yeah. As a generation, we did that.
A whole generation.
Yeah, a whole generation.
Because we were the generation that had invented putting our nudes in public spaces, right?
Yeah.
It's like in the old days, you took a Polaroid.
Mm.
But our generation was the first generation that's like, I'm going to send a dick pic. I'm going to post it on my MySpace. No one's going to see that.
We did Whippets.
Right? Whippets.
That's a little before a generation.
Just a touch before a generation. But like, let's not talk. This is the thing about shitting on Generation Z. Like, we did all this. Generation Z grew up with, like, we're gonna Snapchat our nudes because you can delete that.
We didn't film our shit,
but we did everything else. Let's be real. We were the generation that literally invented cam shows. The cam shows is a millennial thing.
Sure.
And I knew a lot of people that surprisingly got caught making money off of cam shows.
I know a lot of people who spend a lot of money on cam shows.
A lot of people, you mean you.
Nah, I ain't paying for no cam show, the fuck? Yes. I pay for that show to get pwned for free.
We literally invented that. Right?
Yeah.
Taking the private and the public and then merging it together. And then, I mean, sex scandals have always been a thing. But sending your nudes off on Twitter is a uniquely millennial experience, right?
So I'm interested in like, I understand, because we talked about this before, but, like, you know, the concept.
Ted Cruz liking porn.
Yeah, right.
Porn sites, right?
I'm like, come on.
Porn tweets.
Come on, Cruz, all right?
That's an old person trying to use technology.
It's like, you had to shoot all those people.
How do I download this? Favorite?
I mean, you had to be the Zodiac. We let you be the Zodiac Killer, and now you're going to be looking at porn on Twitter.
We forgave you for all the mass murders you committed.
But there was, I always wondered.
You're looking at MILF porn. This is nasty,
Palin?
Is that what it was?
No.
I don't know what it was. I just knew it was MILF porn. Someone was like, he's looking at MILF porn. I'm like, oh my God. I'm going to wash my hands out with bleach.
Jeez.
Get to it. Fucking Ted Cruz. You nasty fucking, meet the monsters piece of shit.
Oh.
He looks like the Meet the Monsters guy that grew up, the little kid. Eddie Munster grew up and turned out to be a racist shithole.
You know, it's actually not. I'm pretty sure the actor probably. I mean, all things considered,
it's probably Ted Cruz.
But so you talked about how, you know, the concept of the teenage years was not a thing in the past, right?
The teenage years is a rebellion against capitalism in the 20th century.
So the question is, were kids from the ancient world?
They did stupid shit.
Did they do dumb? Were they like, what would happen if I took this rock and threw it at your crotch? Like, type shit? Like,
yeah, well, it was a lot of graffiti. We have a lot of cool graffiti.
Yeah.
So, like, one of the kind of most famous moments in history is the breaking up of Julius Caesar and his lover, Servilia. Servilia was a woman of the Junii, the mother of Brutus. And him and Caesar, Caesar had a wife, Calpurnia, a completely separate woman that he mm-hmm. was married to. And him and Servilia were doing the nasty.
To Brute?
And then so the people knew about it. It's like the worst kept secret in Rome. The only person who didn't know about it was Calpurnia, his wife. Until one day she was out and about and saw all the graffiti about Calpurnia Fucatet. Kaiser Cupatet Sevilla and Fularex, and these are all like terms of the and there's images of like her fellating him, and they're, like childish shit. Images of doggy styles, and she saw this and demanded that he leave her, and they did break up. Sevilla and Julius Caesar. Now a bunch of historians, I think Suetonius is the first that puts forth, argues it was actually one of Caesar's rivals who paid a bunch of schoolboy gangs to go out and paint all over Rome, because the idea was that Caesar was really worried about his reputation, and so the only way to influence Caesar was through graffiti. And so whenever they wanted to fuck with Caesar, they would pay a bunch of these little schoolboys who would go out and like paint crude shit on the walls. Oh man,
that's awesome.
And so people have always done stupid and weird shit, and we still have graffiti. My favorite graffiti is from Pompeii. And it's
sex shops.
It's no. Those are
professional. Those are professional. Those billboards.
Those are billboards. Those are professional. Right? There's a very famous one with a pulo, I think it is. It's like, but he just wrote on the wall, and it's still preserved. My name is Pulo, and I have fucked many women. That's all he left it like. And the beauty is like. It was preserved because of the volcano. So to this day, we have this, and I don't think it's Pulo. I forgot his name. I'll look it up. But it's like, it's just him. This is, I have fucked many women. And there's another one where he's graffitied over a brothel, and he uh-huh. has said, here, I have fucked many women.
I think you inadvertently found our Patronus for this week, actually.
This is the type of shit that people did in the ancient world. And that's true. Do it to
but did
day.
They scream like Orbis Stellus, World Star, or some shit when they're...
Maybe. What's Orbis Stellus?
Orbis Stella, is that in Latin for something?
Oh, no. For a second, I thought it was an actual, like, like an app or something.
Was it Orbis Stella?
No.
Orbis, what is Latin for World Star?
How do you say world in Latin?
Oh, yeah, it's not Orba Stella. World Star would probably Orba Stellis. No? I'd have to look it up. Stella is star.
I know that.
Orba means world.
So that makes sense.
But you couldn't put the two together because they're two nouns.
Yeah, so world star is not a real thing
it's
either.
It's not a... Yeah, but we create nouns to go together and then we create new words. But in Latin, that wouldn't work.
Well, they would yell something like Caligulingus or something.
They'd yell something.
Caligulingus.
Shout out to Caligula Sexus, whoever you are. I saw that on Twitter. I paused and went, what the hell?
You accused me or V for it.
I was like, is it one of you fuckers? I don't know who it is, but so long as it remains a fan appreciation, I'm on board. The second that it turns into mocking, I will unleash my rage.
Yeah. Well, let me find the Twitter handle so if people want to follow him.
Yeah. I think it's Sextus Caligula. It's
Caligula.
Let me make sure I have the handle correct,
right,
though.
You looked that up. But anyways, the point that we were trying to make is that the generational argument is a moot argument. It's a dumb argument. It's not a generational issue that we're looking at. We're looking at a structural issue. It's not just millennials that are on YouTube doing stupid shit. It's a bunch of old people on YouTube saying stupid shit as well. It's not a generational issue that we're facing. What we're facing is a systemic structural issue with YouTube.
Well, we're giving motherfuckers cameras and free reign to put that shit up. What do you expect? You let fucking Jimbo from fucking down the street.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's not just the over-democratization. That is a problem itself, right? Everyone having a camera becomes everyone that has an opinion and an author, right?
Yeah.
Every piece of shit turns their camera on themselves and shares their opinion. I mean, literally, that is what Cernovich is. Mm-hmm. He's a douchebag who's not a writer, who's not a journalist, who's not an expert in anything, but who looks up a couple fucking 4chan shit, turns on his Periscope, and then blathers on.
He's not allowed to be on Periscope anymore.
Not anymore. Good. That's the point of what Cernovich is, right?
Okay.
The same thing with Twitter. Twitter makes everyone into an author. But that's a problem, but there's a deeper structural issue, because even in traditional media, right, in vintage media, you've seen that same kind of fixation on sensationalization and trying to capitalize on stuff as a problem. And we see this quite recently with the Fox News, well, not Fox News, the Fox massacre.
Before, did you find the thing?
Yeah, it's so the Twitter handle is Caligula Sextus.
Shout out Caligula Sextus.
Yeah, but
you cool.
Yeah.
He hasn't cursed your balls yet.
No, as long as it remains a fan appreciation, I'm praising his balls. It's very, very ballsy. I'm like, good for you. But, creating an alter ego. A more. I like that he's harassing you. Is what makes me actually happy. I think he's what did he say? He called you a hairy piece of shit or something. A hairy hick. It was good. It was like
he quoted you.
I thought it was me. Yeah. Oh, was that a quote? Yeah. I don't know. It was a quote.
He quoted you. I think.
Was it a quote?
Yeah.
I was like, this person is genuinely channeling me. This person, this girl, this whatever. Yeah. We'll use general neutral terms. They. Yeah. Them.
Yeah. Person.
We never know who it is.
Persons. Whoever it is. Don't reveal yourself. If I ever find out, I'll kill you. Okay, I'm actually genuinely enjoying it so far.
Okay.
So far, it's been good. Nothing negative.
How come no one's made a rock thrustmeyer?
Just
my... about a Richard Johnson?
Richard Johnson. You can find plenty of those on Twitter.
Just my luck is that we're going to have all three of them created, and it's going to be like an embarrassment. We're going to have to close the podcast down because it's gone too far. It's going to go too far. We're going to have to end the podcast because suddenly shit got real.
Richard Johnson is like me dressed as like Burt Reynolds. In that one movie where he's like naked and he's like laying down.
Oh dear God, please don't! I never
with his hairy ass chest.
I never want to see that. It would be Rock Thrustmaster.
Yeah, I don't know.
It would be V dressed as Don Johnson from Miami Vice.
The problem is though, no, you made him Jewish. So
did I make him Jewish?
Yeah, you made him Jewish.
Thrustmaster.
Yeah. Talk to me about Horowitz being a Jew.
Wait, what is wrong with you, Tran? Anyways, shout out to Caligula Sextus. Hilarious so far. I'm enjoying
Fox
it.
Fox Massacre.
But Fox's Massacre is an example of what we're talking about as this kind of structural problem, right? As a systemic problem of attention. All of a sudden, Fox has canceled a bunch of these shows that it decided wasn't worthy of attention anymore.
They are getting
great
hits. And
then renewed Tim Allen's show because... Roseanne is popular with ABC right now.
Fuck Roseanne.
So because of the Roseanne kind of phenomenon, they're like, oh, we're going to bring back Tim Allen, another Republican, straight, white dude, Republican, conservative, pro-Trump guy. Because as if we don't have enough of those voices. Yeah. But then they cancel shows like Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
It's an amazing show.
Which is an unproblematic, diverse, one of the funny...
I gotta tell you, have you ever seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Only certain episodes. Yeah. I recognize that there's people of color.
Yeah.
Sexual minorities.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty hilarious humor.
Yeah, it's actually one of the, honestly, it's probably the best written comedy show I've seen in a long time.
One of the clips that I saw that I thought was hilarious was the lineup clip with the
Backstreet Boys. That's one of the newer episodes.
That thing cracked me up.
My favorite is how the police chief is always like, calling Kira Sedgwick something weird.
Captain Holt is always...
Captain Holt is
oh, he's the, my favorite. Him solid. And Terry Crews are my favorite characters.
He's
right?
A gay black...
He's a gay black police captain, chief, right? And he's always talking about the things that he had to do in order to get his position there. And
he's like, actually plays a serious actor. He's actually a very serious character actor.
And then the thing is, though, he also... I mean, Captain Holt is completely serious throughout the whole thing, but he has these... You know, because he is so...
He's the straight
monotone
man.
And straight man. Like he has he's moments where he's freaking hilarious. Like there's a great one where it's him. He's depressed, and Terry's all like, "I didn't even." He's drinking wine. He's like, "I didn't even have you smell the bouquet yet." And he's all like, "The new Holt drinks Beaujolais from a Cabernet glass." And he looks at it and he goes, "Oh, it's a Sauternes glass." And he goes, "The alcohol has rendered me a simpleton." I think that this whole like, but then he's saying completely deadpan the whole time. And then he calls the Kira Sedgwick a grackle, or you know, like all this random shit. It's fucking hilarious because he's literally deadpan the whole time. And the actor who plays him tries his best to be deadpan during the whole recording of the show, too.
Oh, does he?
So he almost never breaks.
Well, he's a very serious actor, quite brilliant. He was the therapist in House.
Yeah.
He plays really good roles. He's a fantastic character actor. He's one of those actors that kind of is ubiquitous. He's one of the ones that doesn't always get credit, but you see him everywhere. And he always plays a very similar character, a very serious, kind of stern character. Right, mm-hmm. And then usually an authority figure. He's usually a lawyer. He's a doctor. He's a therapist.
He has the voice for it, I think, is what it is. Yeah. But they've done that where it's like he's gay, and then you find out that Detective Diaz is bisexual.
Bisexual, right?
Right? And
one of the few bisexual characters on TV.
She's like, also the...
There's only like a handful.
The actress is, I think she's Peruvian, I think she's South American, yeah. Right? And then there's...
And these are taken as granted, which we should point out. It's not that their points of diversity are not heavy-handed.
Yeah, they're forced.
Forced, this kind of faux, nod to... Yeah, faux wokeness, faux diversity is bullshit,
yeah.
Right? Because everything is about coming out, everything's... And it's at some point, you've got to stop talking about those narratives and talk about narratives that are normal, right?
Yeah.
How people experience life as life. And well, there may be certain struggles, but you don't center those.
They did a wonderful job with that because all those character...
Right.
They're fast to the character, but they're not the character themselves.
Yeah.
Right? Detective Diaz had, four seasons of her, of her love life being either non-existent or, kind of crazy with this, mm-hmm. with this other detective. And there was the way that they had handled her coming out was much more kind of, it wasn't so heavy handed in its way. Mm-hmm. It was her going through the obvious issues of, trying to figure out how her parents would feel about it because her parents are Catholic,
yeah.
Right? And then the resolution is Danny Trejo, who is her dad, accepts her, and then he goes, "Your mom loves you, but it's going to take more time." Like, so it's a very
right,
it was so tastefully done, and it was so in line with the character. It wasn't like you had an uber straight character all of a sudden become gay for the sake of becoming gay. And that's why Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think, is one of my favorite shows right now.
And one of your favorite shows got canceled too, Lucifer.
Yeah, I watch fucking Lucifer on Hulu every Tuesday.
Now, me and V have issues with Lucifer.
I hate Lucifer.
Because V read the comic books.
Yeah.
And the comic books are very different. And I used to hear, I've never read the comic books, V wouldn't shut up about them. So I knew I could tell you everything about Lucifer because I heard about it through V.
I would gush about the Morning Star.
He would. He
for
would.
Hours. For you hours have to understand.
I not, yes, V.
I appreciated Lucifer because he reminded me of Ali.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Oh, well, the new one doesn't.
But the new one is nothing.
But I like the new Lucifer. One.
He's more daddy issue type.
Yeah.
And he's a little goofier, less threatening. But to be honest with you, his anger doesn't threaten me.
I'm glad
he's
dead. Whereas
I would be afraid of the Lucifer in the comic books losing his cool. The Lucifer in the TV show losing his cool is just a dude getting angry.
But look, here's the deal, man, right?
But it was still a bad show.
And it has a lot of fans.
It had a lot of fans.
There's millions of
fans. The Lucy fans.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is, they canceled this show. They canceled Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
But something happened with Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
It got picked up.
And why did it get picked up?
Because of fucking Twitter.
Twitter went crazy.
Mm.
They said,
I tweeted from a Currently Nerds account a bunch.
Save Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Well,
and
Save
they did.
Lucy's going on.
NBC
right now.
Picked it up.
Yeah.
Save Lucy's going on, but I don't know if it got picked up by
But the thing is, remember, this happened with Community a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it got picked up. It got picked up by Yahoo, and it wasn't as...
Yeah, I think Netflix can pick up Lucifer, or maybe
Hulu?
ABC could pick it up.
But a lot of them have an issue is that there's a Netflix is in a big loss right now because it spent so much money creating its original content. You know,
Amazon
trying to keep
all that original content with Amazon right now.
Well. Exactly. They all have it, right? They're all doing that because they're trying to get people attracted to the services.
There's an interesting show out on Amazon that I thought we should check out called Britannia. It was like Rome. You remember Rome back in the day?
Yeah, of course.
I was gushing.
I mean,
about
you
Rome.
Lived through it.
I lived in Rome.
You were, you know, you.
That's how you know about the graffiti.
Yeah, you graffitied that wall.
I was the hooligan.
Yeah, you
were the hooligan.
That was my version. That was my version of doing the Tide Pod Challenge back in the day.
Yeah, you didn't forget the name. It was Sextus Caligula the whole time.
Damn it.
The Rome the series was fantastic, and I always gush about it because my friends consulted on that and Spartacus.
How you doing, Brie?
There's bitterness there because a lot of their stuff was ignored. But Rome is considered the most, as much as the characters don't resemble the historical characters, like they make Brutus into this really whiny loser, the background behind Rome is considered brilliant because it's the most historically accurate depiction of Rome. There's a new show that's come out like that, but it's for Amazon only, called Britannia, and it's just about Britain. Now, some people are really pissed about it. A bunch of the YouTube anti-social justice warrior people are pissed because they call it blackwashing history because there's a couple black Romans in there or something.
But there were black Romans.
There were black Romans, but they're losing their shit over this.
Yeah,
this is the new thing. They call it black. I don't know why the YouTube's algorithm, again, this is why YouTube sucks, constantly puts those videos up for me because I just get angry. I'm like, this video is stupid.
Weren't these those same losers who got upset for the story and be like, the Roman statues weren't actually white?
Yeah, they got angry. They got angry about that. An actual classicist very famously said, these statues, we depict them as white, The reality is that they've never wore white. They were painted. And this is true. If you watch Rome, the series, you'll see that historians actually point out that Rome was never all marble.
Right.
All marble is bare. Romans loved color. Romans painted things in very garish colors constantly. Because it was a sign of wealth that you could afford colors.
They did this also with any like the ancient temples of Central America, Mesoamerica. Yeah. Also heavily painted. A lot of pigments and a lot of colors all throughout the jungle.
That they're all that kind of brownish color, but it's not.
Yeah.
They're all very colored. So anyways, these people got angry, stupid, but this Britannia show. We got to check this out and see if it's any good.
I'm excited because I need English accents in my life ever since Game of Thrones went off.
I know. Game of Thrones isn't going to be back for
I need to find something months. that'll help it's appease not gonna be back
my 2019.
Anglophilia.
That's fucked up. Anglophile. Just you're an Anglophilia makes it sound like a sexual fetish.
When it kind of is.
Philia becomes a sexual fetish. File, you're just an Anglophile. Like a Francophile.
You know, whatever works. Okay, yeah. Don't kink shame me.
You're not jacking off to Derek Jacobi's accent, are you?
Listen, don't judge me for the things that I do in my free time.
Derek Jacobi?
No.
You don't know Derek
Jacobi? How? You fucking.
Play Claudius and I Claudius? No, of course you don't know that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He played Alexander Corvinus in the Underworld series.
Underworld, so he's the dad? The
older dude. Alexander Corvinus.
The blonde.
He played Senator Gracchus in Gladiator.
Yeah.
The senator that was part of the rebellion.
He was
Derek Jacobi.
Yeah. Okay.
Famous Shakespearean actor.
Yes, now I know him.
So anyways.
Goatee.
Here's the interesting thing here's the thing about Lucifer. There's a story about why Lucifer got canceled.
Because the Brits.
No.
Because there's too many black people.
No.
Because Kane sucked.
No.
Because
Kane did suck. I thought that storyline was dumb.
So I like his chicken strips, though.
I love the mom storyline was dumb, too. But it got dropped because Fox just got bought out by who?
Disney.
Disney owns what?
Marvel.
And what is Lucifer?
DC.
Yeah, it's Vertigo.
Which
is DC, in the adult version of DC.
Ah.
So the argument there being that they were going to put in more Marvel stuff.
I thought they bought 20th Century Fox.
I don't know, same shit.
But not.
I think, though, the thing is, though, their justification for it was...
This is a rumor on the internet. It could be false.
Probably.
So they canceled other things. They canceled The Mick with Caitlin Olsen, which is basically D from It's Always Sunny, only in a rich environment, pretty much. Mm-hmm. They canceled Last Man on Earth, which was kind of weird. It never got into it. But Fox's actual justification for it was like they had opened up for Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
And they went, we wanted to, and this is very masterful. They, because Bob's Burgers is a huge thing for the people love Bob. They were like, we wanted to give Bob's Burgers a better chance in the slot where Brooklyn Nine-Nine was. Yeah.
They said the same thing with Lucifer. NFL slot issue.
So they basically went into this whole thing. It was like, it wouldn't fit with the decor, the feng shui. You know they said that shit.
Just like brain cells.
I'm sure they did.
I had a genuine eye twitch when you said that because I've heard people say it. Oh, damn.
I know. I heard it at the gym the other day, actually. But this old white guy talking to an old Asian man. It was horrible.
Monday night football's on ESPN.
No, it said Thursday night football.
Oh, but Lucifer's on a Monday.
Yeah, but they did this thing where they're all like, they had to reset the time slots for everything to cater to Thursday night football.
The reality, however, then, in my opinion, is that this is tied very much to kind of the Nicole Arbour arguments, is that there's a structural problem in what we decide to give our attention to. And the things that can build controversies, the things that are going to, so for example, bringing back Tim Allen's show, that's going to be controversial.
Mm.
People are going to tune in just like they tune into Roseanne because they're looking to see this crazy Trump supporter, and people are like, "Yeah, we've got to." So like that the courting of controversy is always going to be used in, because the economy of attention is not just YouTube. It's YouTube. It's vintage media. It's all of that.
Yeah, all of it.
In other words, controversy, sensationalism, these are things that they're going to court. No matter how much that they give lip service to liberal, diversity, progressive things, like McDonald's, we're a progressive company. ABC, we're progressive, we're diverse, we're all about diversity, right? At the end of the day, they may say these things, these kind of liberal talking points, but the true kind of motivator is always going to be capitalism.
That is true.
The type of capitalism that is rooted in attentions and ratings.
And those things make money. And I'm pretty sure young Sheldon's a Nazi.
Oh, what? My God. I think that's a good cue to end things. Young Sheldon is not a Nazi for clarification purposes, though it is a shitty-ass fucking show. We're going to end it there. Let us know what you think. Tell us what your thoughts are on the Laurel Yenny thing. How about Childish Gambino and Nicole Arbor?
Listen to Childish Gambino. Don't listen to Nicole Arbor.
Yeah, listen to Childish Gambino. But do you agree with us in our kind of analysis of the kind of the system being flawed, and it's why it leads to stuff like Nicole Arbor on the YouTube front, and why it leads to the canceling of Brooklyn Nine-Nine and the renewing of Tim Allen's show on the Fox front? So let us know if you think that analysis is fair, it's compelling, or if I'm talking out of my ass. If you think I'm talking my ass, you can go fuck yourself. This is going to let you know how you can get in contact with us.
Yeah, you could tell us that the shoe is gray and mint.
No,
on Facebook, facebook.com/color.
Facebook.com/currentlynerdy
on the tweets at currentlynerdy on the Instagrams at currentlynerdy on the Tumblr currentlynerdy.tumblr.com on YouTube just search currentlynerdy and we're on the podcasts. Clearly you're listening to us on a podcast app, so it's either iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play Music. And if you're listening to us on one of those apps or any other app, go on iTunes and all those places and leave us a 5-star rating and write an awesome review, goddammit. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can they get a hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can find me on my two blogs at 7crossroads.com. That's the number 7crossroads.com. That's my travel blog. Or if you're into sandwiches, thesandwichslayer.com. Incidentally, some random pop-up restaurant also tried to take Sandwich Slayer from me.
Oh, hell
no. But I beat him.
Good.
Yeah. Ali.
You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at AAOLOMI. I welcome fan accounts, apparently. Go for it. You can also find me on my website, alialomi.com, or on our sister podcast, Head on History. A special thanks to all the people that have made Head on History successful, as well as to V and Diz, who have been very wonderful sound operators and producers on that.
Yeah.
We've had some really great, great numbers, and it's only possible thanks to all the wonderful fans that are tuning or listeners that are tuning in. I'm going to call them listeners, not fans. Listeners. Fellow history nerds. Diz.
You can find me everywhere at Dizbulla. DizBullah.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you, unless you're one of those white devils who steal things from black people and call the cops on them, you bastards.